how big is your God? Everybody, stretch your arms out with me again. Part five, how big is your God? We've been talking about his greatness, his awesomeness, his mightiness. The whole series, we're just trying to really stretch your vision of God and how great he is, because how you see God matters. Jeremiah 32, behold, I'm the Lord, the God of all flesh. Is anything too hard for me? Is anything too hard for God? Absolutely not. William Carey, attempt great things for God, expect great things from God. We've been talking about all kinds of big and lofty concepts and trying to bring them down to where we live and understand them in a new light. We've been talking about God's self-existence, his eternalness, his omniscience, his omnipotence, his transcendence. And today I want to talk about one of my very favorite things. In fact, probably it's going to take at least 2 weeks to unpack this one, because this one's super important for all of us. And you'll see where I'm going here in a little bit. I want to talk about God's omnipresence. God's omnipresence. In other words, God's omnipresence is, he is all present everywhere. There's nowhere that he is not. There is nowhere that God's presence isn't. So would you bow your heads, close your eyes with me? Lord, through the power of your Holy Spirit, continue to expand our vision, our understanding, and our experience of our great and awesome God, in Jesus' name. Everybody said amen? Amen. Amen. Well, this morning, he's all present. He's everywhere. There's nowhere that he is not. In fact, let me just say this to you this morning. If you haven't realized it or not, he's here right now. He's in our presence right now. Jesus promised it, right? He said, wherever two or more gather in my name, I'm right there with them. He promised it, and he keeps his promises. He's here. And he's not, by the way, simply a passive bystander. Now, I'm going to date myself here a little bit, but there was a famous song that came out in the 90s by a gal named Bette Midler. Anybody remember one of her famous songs, From a Distance? And in that song, it was a catchy song, some pretty good lyrics, but then there was a stanza of that song, God is watching from a distance. God is watching from a distance. Can I just say to you this morning, there's probably nothing that's more untrue than that. God is here right now, and he does not want there to be any distance between you and him whatsoever. But you have a choice in that matter. We're going to get to that in just a little bit. He's here, not as a passive attendee, but he's here to make himself known to you and I. He's here, and he wants you to experience his personal love for you. God never intended religion, Christianity, church services to be dead, boring, and lifeless. He never intended for that to be our gatherings. He intended for them to be full of his life, in his presence, in his peace, in his joy. Lots of scriptures on this. Let's look at one this morning. Probably the most famous one, Psalm 139. Where can I go from your spirit, or where can I flee from your presence? Then he begins to ask some questions. This is David, who had such an intimate walk with God. If I ascend into heaven, well, you're there. If I make my bed in hell, behold, you are there. If I take the wings of the morning and I dwell in the uttermost parts of the sea, even there your hand shall lead me and your right hand shall hold me. Anywhere you go, anywhere I go, God is there. When you leave today and you walk out those doors, God's going to be there waiting for you. When you get in your car today, God will be there in your car. When you go home today, he's going to be there in your house. If you lay down and do the Sunday afternoon ritual of taking a nap, he's going to be right there on the couch. Wherever you go, God is there. His presence, you cannot escape from his presence. He's right there with you. And he doesn't want to be there in a passive way. He wants to take you even there. His hand shall lead you and his right hand shall hold you. He wants to take you by the hand and guide you into the good things that he has for you in this life. Jeremiah speaks to the same concept. Am I a God near at hand, says the Lord, and not a God afar off? Can anyone hide himself in secret places so I shall not see him, says the Lord? Do I not fill heaven and earth, says the Lord? Do I not fill heaven and earth? Wow, talk about an incredible thing. God is near, he's far, there's nowhere to hide from his presence. He fills heaven and earth. Think of that. Think of just how big God is. There's nowhere you can go that he's not there. 2 Chronicles, Solomon knew this. 2 Chronicles 2:6, he says, who's able to build him a temple since heaven and the heaven of heavens cannot contain him? In other words, the universe itself cannot contain God. How in the world could you ever even build him a house? Because he's in all. Everything's contained in and through him. Very smart man, wonderful pastor of years ago, A.W. Tozer, said it like this. Listen, might cause you to scratch your head a little bit, but listen to this. So powerful. God is omnipresent and immanent, penetrating everything, even while he contains all things. The bucket that is sunk into the depths of the ocean is full of the ocean. The ocean is in the bucket, but also the bucket is in the ocean surrounded by it. God dwells in his universe, and the universe dwells in God. Think about that. Scratch your head and contemplate that with me just a little bit, would you? Paul, talking to the pagans on Mars Hill, says this about God. He says, even to those that don't know him, for in him you live and you move and you have your being. Even those that don't know him are in his presence, his omnipresence. He's everywhere, all at the same time, in every place, and there's nowhere to hide from his presence. We live in his presence. We ought to start thinking bigger of him. We ought to start living like we understand and know we're in his presence. I'll never forget being at camp years ago as a young person, and the person in my dorm, the adult in my dorm, said something to me one day, and it struck me. He said, you know what? You never utter a word that God doesn't hear. And he quoted the scripture to me that every one day we'll give an account for every idle word. It was the first time in my life that the concept of God's presence being everywhere all the time, and I couldn't pull the wool over his eyes, and I couldn't hide from his presence, ever became real to me. One of my spiritual heroes, Pastor Jack Hayford, says that one of the greatest things he ever learned as a Christian, he was taught by his mom as a young boy. He said, I would come in from playing outside, and maybe I'd got into some mischief, and I'd come in and I'd stand before my mom, and my mom would just sense it in her spirit that I'd done some things that I shouldn't have done, and would ask me the question, Jack, what did you do? And he said, you know, I'd kind of mumble, I'd kind of start to, you know, make an excuse, and she'd say, Jack, remember, you're in the presence of God. You're in the presence of God. He said, I learned at a young age to live my life in the presence of God. Pretty sobering if you think about it. Probably cause us to live a bit differently. How big is God? How omnipresent is he? Isaiah 40 speaks to this. Who's measured the waters in the hollow of his hand? Measured heaven with a span and calculated the dust of the earth in a measure. In other words, God goes, how big is the heavens? Oh, it's about that big. About like that. Weighed the mountains in scales and the hills in a balance. Behold, the nations are just a drop in a bucket to him and are counted as the small dust on the scale. Look, he lifts up the isles as a very little thing. Have you not known? Have you not heard? Has it not been told you from the beginning? Have you not understood from the foundations of the earth? It is he who sits above the circle of the earth, and its inhabitants are like grasshoppers, who stretches out the heavens like a curtain and spreads them out like a tent to dwell in. Next time, tomorrow morning, when you open your curtains and you're checking out the day and seeing what you should wear as you get ready for work, and you open up those curtains. Think about how God spread the heavens just like opening the curtains. God is big. God is great. God is awesome. He's everywhere. Now let's move from that theological point to something a little more practical, a little more personal for each of us today. And this is hugely important. And I don't want you to miss it. This is so important. Let's ask the question this morning, if God's everywhere, then why do I feel so distant from him? The answer to this is, it can literally be life transforming for you today. Well, first of all, we can't think of being close to God or far from God in physical human terms. They're not going to really help us understand the concept. There isn't a human unit of measure, whether it's the metric system or the system that we stubbornly hold on to. You can't measure his distance in inches. You can't measure his distance in meters. I can't say, you know, today God just seems about 6 feet from me. Can't use human measurement terms because they really don't measure that. He's everywhere. He's omnipresent. So it's really important that we use spiritual terms and that we understand it spiritually, not physical measurements to define God's proximity to us and our proximity to God. So listen to this. Here's the key. Distance from God and difference. This is very important. Difference, unlikeness or dissimilarity from God are the same. Distance and difference are the same. Likewise, closeness to God and likeness to God are the same thing. Closeness to God and likeness to God are the same thing. This is why, and you'll discover this morning, why repentance is so incredibly important for the believer. This is why we have scriptures that tell us that yes, our sins have been forgiven once and for all by the sacrifice of Jesus, but then why we have John 1:9 that says, if you confess your sins, he's faithful and just to forgive you of your sins and to cleanse you of all unrighteousness. Because every day you take hold of that incredible gift of forgiveness and you apply it to yourself by repenting of those places where you've become dissimilar to him, where you've allowed distance to come between you and him. So think about it like this. We're closest to God when we're like him. Also, we're most distant from God when we're the least like him. Well, let's kind of break this down, try to make it a little more practical, help you to understand this concept a little better. Let's go back to the beginning again, because the beginning just has so much to teach us. Let's go to the book of Genesis. Let's talk about Adam for a few minutes. So God creates Adam from the dust of the earth, breathes his life into him, and Adam has this sinless, perfect, communing, unified, intimate, wonderful relationship with God where they walk literally in the cool of the garden, in the cool of the day, chatting, talking to one another. Adam saying, God, man, I really loved naming those animals today. And God saying to Adam, Adam, I just love you so much. You're just wonderful in my eyes. And there's just this communion, this intimacy that's there. And how many of you right now, you wish the story had just ended right there? Wouldn't that have been nice? No sin, you and I just came along in our time and, you know, we had that perfect, sinless, wonderful communion with God where we walked in his presence every day. But sadly, the story doesn't end there. See, Adam, in the beginning, he's very much like God. He's not God, but he's very much like God. Before sin enters the picture, he's like God in his moral character. He's like God in his desires and his actions. When sin enters in, everything gets marred. Everything gets changed. And sin automatically, as soon as it enters into the picture, it brings distance and even separation. Genesis 3:8, look at it. It says, and they heard the sound of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day, and Adam and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God, among the trees of the garden. He sins. So he's not like God. Sin has entered the picture, and the immediate result is spiritual distance between God and Adam. Being unlike or dissimilar to God causes distance and separation from his presence. And let me just tell you, as soon as you sin, almost always the enemy is right there to heap shame upon you. He lures you into sin, right? He lures you. He puts something in front of you, makes it look enticing and good, and lures you into it. Once you step into it, once you fall prey to it, then he's there to accuse you with shame and guilt and condemnation so that you'll continue to let that distance between you and God grow. Where are you, Adam? Who told you? Who told you? And it's Satan, who the same devil that seduced them into taking the fruit is there to shame them for their sin. So what do? They hide because the enemy's telling them, right? God wants nothing to do with you now. In fact, they cover up. They stitch together some fig leaves. There's self-preservation that enters into the picture and this attempt to somehow make themselves right in God's presence without God himself. Let me just say to you, if you're watching today or you're here today and you've eaten the fruit and you've allowed distance and shame to come in to your relationship with God, today's the day to come out of hiding and to run to the Father and to let him embrace you and let that intimacy come back into the relationship that he so deeply desires with you. Isaiah chapter 59 says it this way, your iniquities have separated you from God, and your sins have hidden his face from you so that he will not hear. Sin equals separation from God. That's why it's so incredibly important, folks, that we keep our accounts short before the Lord, because anytime sin enters in, it creates some distance. One of my favorite old sayings is, rapid repentance leads to rapid restoration. When you and I sin, there just ought to be something in us that goes, okay, I don't want to lose my intimacy with God. Tracy and I have learned this in our own marital relationship. When we go through conflicts, here's the interesting thing, right? We've been married almost 34 years. We got married when we were 13. That's a Kentucky thing, you know. No, I'm just kidding. But we've gotten to the place in our relationship that we have such sweet and wonderful intimacy that whenever we get into a little spat and it starts to ebb away at that intimacy, both of us realize it's not worth it. We got to do whatever to solve that, resolve that, work through that, because we want the intimacy back. God wants that intimacy with you when you've allowed poor choices and sinful desires to take over and that distance has happened. And you say, well, this Isaiah, that's Old Testament, Pastor Jeff. Let's look at the New Testament and see what it says about this same concept, okay? Here we go. Ephesians chapter 4. By the way, Paul wouldn't have wasted his time saying this if it wasn't true of us, if we couldn't do this, okay? So he's speaking to the believers at Ephesus. He says, this I say therefore and testify in the Lord that you believers, you people in church there at Ephesus, don't walk anymore as the rest of the Gentiles or as the rest of the world walks in the futility. Futility basically means useless arrogance. In the futility of their mind, having their understanding darkened, the Zoe, the abundant, overflowing life of God, which is found in his presence, alienated from it because of the ignorance that is in them, because of the blindness of their heart, who being past feeling have given themselves over to lewdness and to work all uncleanness with greediness. Dissimilarity to God produces alienation from God. It creates a distance. It creates a separation. Paul's warning the Christians, don't let this happen to you. See, Paul goes on to teach this concept in the New Testament that you can be what's called a carnal Christian. What in the world is a carnal Christian? It basically means a Christian who's still living by the impulses of their flesh. who isn't keeping that short account before God, who has forgotten to repent of their sins, and therefore the distance has just gotten greater and greater and greater. And yes, there was a day and a time where they accepted Christ and they walked down an aisle and they said a prayer and they did whatever. They were baptized, whatever. But now they've just allowed distance, distance, distance to come between them and God. And it's almost like there's no difference between them and the world out there. See, it's not about geography, folks. Again, it's not, you know, God's 6 feet from me. How do I close that gap? No, it's all about your heart's condition. It's all about how's your heart before the Lord? Are you keeping your heart tender before God? Are you repenting of sin whenever it enters into the picture so that you do not sacrifice or compromise that wonderful intimacy that He wants to have with you every moment of every day? This morning as I was praying and preparing for this message, I just sat on my couch for a while. I had some worship playing, and let me just tell you, God's presence was so real. Tears began to fall down my cheeks. I couldn't stop it. I cried all the way in the car here to church. I cried in our prayer meeting this morning, and I just was so enjoying and sensing and feeling God's presence. And for me, one of the keys is this, and I like to put it this way, I need time in the Word and I need time in worship before I ever go into the world. The Word and worship before the world. Because let me tell you, you go out those doors in the morning, the world is just waiting to eat you for lunch. And if you haven't been warmed, if your heart hasn't been warmed and strengthened and girded up in God's presence. Listen, I love reading the Word. You know I do. I'm a student of the Word. The Word, it speaks to me. It teaches me. It informs me. But it's the worship, listen, that connects my heart with God. It's in the worship that I feel and sense His presence with me that gives me the confidence to go out into the world. It's our choice. Listen, right now, right here, you're as close to God as you want to be. Listen, I know it's not all about feeling, but God wants to be close to us, and He will be if you and I will deal with the sinfulness in our hearts. Listen, there's some of you here in this room, you have absolutely, in worship at times, you have felt God's presence in such a powerful way that it's almost like tingling or warmth, and you feel Him and you know He's with you. How many of you have ever had that experience? So precious. So very precious. Repentance, regular repentance, not just some kind of rote thing. God, forgive me, and then you go do it again. God, forgive me, and then you go do it again. No, I... heartfelt, God, I hate the sin and I don't want it to come between you and I. One of the things for me that's so important is I, just between me and the Lord and my walk with Him, is I want my heart to be right with Him and I want my heart to be right with others. The Bible says, love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and being. Man, first of all, my first responsibility is to keep my heart right with Him. And then from there, love your neighbor as yourself. It's to keep my heart right with others. And sometimes, quite honestly, this is a whole lot easier than this is. You know what I'm saying? If you feel far from God, guess who's moved? It's not the Lord. You're the one that's taken the step over here and gotten the 6 feet of distance between you and Him. Not that you can measure it that way. But you're the one who's moved. Presence, though He's everywhere, it's our dissimilarity that distances ourselves from Him. Now I know what some of you are thinking here this morning. You're going, wait a minute, God's omnipresent. You told us that, Pastor Jeff. How can we be separate from Him if He's omnipresent? If there's nowhere we can go to flee from His presence, how in the world can we be distant from Him? Because there's two facets of His presence. And this is where we'll spend more time in the weeks to come just unpacking this, because it's hugely important. There's two facets of His presence. There's His omnipresence, and then there's His manifest presence. And let me just tell you about His manifest presence. It's the personal, tangible, revealing, engaging presence of God. And that is so important that each and every one of us understand how to walk there, how to live there in his presence. Moses says these profoundly powerful words. He says, God, it's only your presence that sets us apart from all the rest of the people on this earth. It's only your presence. And if your presence isn't going with us, I'm not going. Are you hungry? Are you desirous for his presence? There's God's personal revealed presence within his omnipresence. And this is interesting and noteworthy, right back to Adam and Eve. I'm going to give you a little example here. Adam and Eve are hiding from his presence in his presence. You know what I'm saying? They're literally hiding from his presence while they're in his presence. Because there's a presence within the presence. There's his omnipresence. Yes, he's everywhere at all times. You can't flee from that. But then there's his manifest presence that is that sweet and tender and real sense that he's with you. There's his peace and his love and his joy that just pours out on you. Let me give you an example here. You can have two people in church, right? They can even be sitting together. And you know, if you're a spouse and you feel this about your spouse, don't elbow them, okay? Don't do that. But you can have two people sitting in church together, right? And one can be entering in. Man, there lives presence in such a sweet and tender way. Worship's going on. And they're just, man, they're lifting their hands to the Lord. They're singing out. I mean, they're encountering him. It's so powerful and real what's happening. Heaven is just becoming real on earth as they worship. Tears are streaming down their face, and they're just experiencing God's peace and presence in a very tangible, real way. While the person beside them is just standing there with their hands in their pocket, bored stiff. Most of the time critiquing, right? Can't believe that worship leader said we're going to sing that chorus again. Oh my gosh, we already sang it 25 times. I don't even like that worship song. Right, Glenn? We've got to get past that. Get those hands out of the pockets. Get that person reconnecting with God's heart. Listen. Adam hid from God's manifest presence while being in his omnipresence. And sadly, I think a lot of believers are doing the very same thing today. They're okay with God's omnipresence. I mean, they like the thought that God's holding everything together. He's keeping the world spinning. But they, out of shame, guilt, condemnation, sin that's been allowed to linger, they're hiding from his manifest presence. They're not wanting, in all honesty, his personal revealed presence that would speak and that would convict and that would affirm and that would love and that would challenge and that would empower and that would question them. It gets them a little uncomfortable. Most believers are just okay with that. They're okay with hiding with God, from God while they're in the presence of God. Can I just say to you, my heart desire is to move us from that into a hunger for his manifest presence. In fact, folks, I think the church has got to get back to the place where we hunger for God's presence more than we desire the next breath that we will breathe. That we're more hungry for him than in the storm. See, a lot of Christians, they're trying to be happy without God's manifest presence in their life. But it's his presence that you find abundant spiritual life. Not apart from it, not distant from it, in his presence, his omnipresence, his manifest presence. Probably the best New Testament example of this as we close this morning is Luke chapter 15. It's the story of the prodigal son. And the prodigal son wants things from the father, but he doesn't really want the father. It's heartbreaking. Then he said, a certain man had two sons, and the younger of them said to his father, Father, give me the portion of goods that falls to me. So he divided them to them his livelihood. And not many days after, the younger son gathered all together, journeyed to a far country. Notice that. Journeyed to a far country. He's putting so much distance between he and the father, as much distance as he can possibly put. And there he wasted his possessions with prodigal living. See, in essence, what's happening here is the prodigal son wanted only his father's presence, P-R-E-S-E-N-T-S, and not his father's presence, P-R-E-S-E-N-C-E. And let me just say, when you get to that point, dissimilarity is already upon you, because first and foremost, the father, he really wants close personal relationship with you. But that dissimilarity produces distance and distance and distance. And before you know it, you're on a far journey away from God. You're so far away you can't see him anymore. You're not even sure you can remember the way back. What happens? There's wasted living, maybe even devastation. He ends up flat broke in the pigsty. And can I just say to you, for a young Jewish boy, there's no worse place to be than in a pigsty. Glenn, you can come on back. Come on up. What the son has done, there's a lot of, I want what you have, but I don't really want you. There's a lot of this, I'm going to call it spiritual prostitution, that kind of enters into the church. We want what God has. We want all the good stuff. But are we really willing to submit ourselves fully to him, to have him as Lord of our lives, to have him and to walk in intimate, real relationship with him? What do you have to do as we close today? When you've valued God's presence, P-R-E-S-E-N-T-S, over his manifest presence. What do you have to do when you're dissimilar and distant and devastated? One last scripture, Luke 15, verses 17 through 20, it says, when he came to himself, some of us hopefully are coming to ourselves today going, God, I didn't mean for this to happen. I don't know how this happened. I just kind of started to slip, and I just kind of started to drift, and I've just allowed some things to create distance between you and I. When he came to himself, he said, how many of my father's hired servants have enough bread to spare, and I perish with hunger? I'm going to arise, and I'm going to my father, and I'm going to say to him, Father, I've sinned against heaven and before you, and I'm no longer worthy to be called your son. Make me like one of your hired servants. And he rose and he came to his father. But when he was still a great way off, these are some of those powerful words in the New Testament. When he was still a great way off, his father saw him and had compassion on him and ran to him and fell on his neck and kissed him. You know what? If you're not experiencing God's manifest presence, it's time to come to your senses, and it's time to arise and come to the Father and say, God, forgive me, forgive me, forgive me for whatever I've allowed to come between me and you. I want your presence back in my life more than I want anything else. It's time for you to know once again the Father's heart toward you. He's looking for you. He's compassionate toward you. He's patiently waiting on you. He's wanting nearness and tenderness with you, and you can experience his manifest presence today. In fact, he'll run to you if you'll just take a step toward him, and he'll smother you with kisses. Now, here's what I want to do today. As we close out our time, I'm just going to come up here and sit on this step and just worship God. Would you stand? I'm going to ask you this morning, I think I'll just ask all of us, right? Man, if you're hungry for God and you don't want there to be any special song together called Nothing Else, and won't you just come? Just cry out to God and say, God, I want you. I want you. I want your presence. Your presence is what makes a difference. Glenn, would you lead us? As he sings, would you just come? Just come and worship him. Come and cry out to him.
In your presence.
This is fill this front. This is fill this front area. This with hungry hearts, desires of God. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. We need you, Lord. We don't want anything between us and you. Listen, if you're an unbeliever in the house today or you're watching time of through YouTube or Facebook today, and you have, quite honestly, a lifetime of unconfessed sin, you know what? Just run to the Father this morning and just pray something like this from your heart sincerely. God, forgive me. Forgive me, Lord. I've been trying to live for so long without you. I just really need you. Forgive me for all the mistakes, all the sins, all the distance I've put between me and you. I want to close that gap today, and I want to come and run into your loving arms, and I want to know you and walk with you today and every day. Listen, God will hear you. God will meet you. Today will be the first day of a beautiful relationship between you and him. If you're here today and you're a believer, and yet somehow in the busyness of life, in the hustle and bustle, in the challenges and the compromise of this world we live in, you've just allowed some distance to grow there. Close the gap today. God, please, we want you more than any other thing, and we cry out to you today for your manifest presence in each and every one of our lives. Lord, we'll never make a difference in this world if we walk with any kind of distance between us and you. We need you. Our hearts long for you. Our hearts, they pant for you like the deer pants for the waters. We want to experience you, taste of you, see that you are good, walk in the manifest presence of your peace and your joy and your life abundant. And God, we want to be able to spread that to others, because that's real spiritual life. God, forgive us and meet us here today. In Jesus' name, in Jesus' name. Everybody said, in Jesus' name, amen. Shine upon us, and your light shine through us as we leave this place today. May we walk in with just a continual awareness of our need for you and your presence in our lives. May we find ourselves, Lord, every day just coming into your presence, time in worship and time in your word, having our hearts warmed in your presence before we ever step foot out into that world. God, guide us. Hold us, use us for your glory, in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you guys.